Next parsha, we have a lot to talk about, but we're only going to focus on one issue, and I think it's a very important one. We have in the parsha about the mitzvah of kisui hadam. When you do the shechita, you have to then, on certain animals, you have to then cover over the blood with dirt. So that is learned from this week's parsha, where we learn v'shafach hasdama v'chiseo be'afar. After you shech the animal, you have to then cover over the blood, and you cannot leave it exposed. And from here, the Gemara learns the idea of bizui mitzvah, that you're not allowed to be disrespectful to a mitzvah item while it's being used, or even after, perhaps, it's finished with its usage as well. How do we learn that? So the Gemara says, v'shafach hasdama v'chiseo be'afar, that you have to first do the shechita, and then you have to cover over the blood. Says the Gemara, we learn, b'mashashafach yichase, the same part of your body that you used in order to do the shechita, which is obviously your hand, that is the same part of the body that should be used in order to cover over the blood as well. So from here we learn that you're not allowed to kick the dirt, even though it would be much more convenient just to kick the dirt onto the blood and take care of the mitzvah that way, but you're not allowed to do so because that would be disrespectful to the mitzvah. So I just want to talk in general about this idea of bizui ha-mitzvah. So it breaks up into really three different categories. Number one, we have the idea when you have a mitzvah that is no longer being used. So we're told, the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos Daf Lamedtes, that Ravami v'Ravasi ki ave misrami luhu rifta de'iruva. When Ravami and Ravasi used to have the bread left over from the Eruv after they were finished using it, mevarchen alav hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. They would then go later on and make a bracha of hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz on it, on a Shabbos meal. Why? Says the Gemara, Amru, they said, hol this aved be'chada mitzvah chada, neved be'achrina. The Gemara says, since we already performed the mitzvah of Eruv with this piece of bread, with this matzah, we may as well go ahead and now perform yet another mitzvah with it, which is the mitzvah of Hamotzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz on Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says, and this is also brought in Masechta Shabbos, and the Mechaber writes it as well in Arachaim Shin Tzadi Dalid, that whenever you have the opportunity to reuse a mitzvah item that is no longer being used for its original purpose, you should try to do so because that shows a chashivas to the mitzvah item. So the Mishneh Berurah writes in Hilchos Havdalah that this is the same with regard to the what we use for the besamim on Matzai Shabbos. Mishneh Berurah says when you have the leftover hadasim after Sukkot is over, and now you have no usage for them at all, you're allowed to dispose of them. Says the Mishneh Berurah, you may as well save them in order to be used for Havdalah. Why? Because since you already did one mitzvah of Shekin Dalad Minim with it, you may as well save it later on in order to do another mitzvah of besamim on Matzai Shabbos as well. Says the Chida, I think in his tshuva, that once you're finished with using them for besamim because you can no longer smell them anymore, at some point they run out, he says then you should throw them into the fire in order to bake your challahs for Shabbos. So, okay, I don't know that all of us are able to do that anymore, but the point is you see that this is something the Achronim tried to emphasize, that we should do whatever we can to save them in order to do another mitzvah. I believe the Ramah writes as well in Ochas Pesach, that when a person has the Hoshanos left over from Sukkot as well, they should throw them into the fire, not by the beer chametz, he says, to throw them into the fire to bake the matzahs, I think. I think that's what the Ramah says. So now I think most people take it in to do the beer chametz, but I think he says that this is what they used to do. They would save it in order to bake the matzahs, because once again we have this idea of once a mitzvah item was used, you should also make sure that it's used again, if possible. If it hasn't been used up and it's possible to use for another mitzvah, you should do that as well. We spoke about the idea of bizui ha-mitzvah. While you're engaged in the mitzvah, you have to make sure that you do it in a respectable manner. So there, the Gemara says, the same way you have a mitzvah of shechita that has to be done with your hands, you have a mitzvah of kisui hadam, where you're supposed to cover over the blood with dirt. You have to make sure that the kisui hadam is done in a respectable manner as well. And therefore, the Gemara says, from here we learn the idea of bizui ha-mitzvah, and the way the Gemara phrases it, in case you ever see it in a sefer, the Gemara says, avua tekulu dam. What does that mean? It means the father of all mitzvos is blood. What does that mean, the father of all mitzvos is blood? It means we learn from the mitzvah of kisei adam to all other mitzvos. We extrapolate from here to all other mitzvos that, the same way you have to be respectful when you do the mitzvah of kisei adam, so too that's the application that we need to have with regard to any other mitzvah. Every mitzvah has to be done in a very respectable fashion. I do remember reading a story about the Chasam Sofer. In the 1700s, he said that he had a Talmud who came to him once and discussed with him whether or not he can sign off on his smicha. So the Chasam Sofer said he absolutely would not. And the question was, what's wrong? This Talmud excelled, and he did very well in all of his tests and all of his bechinas, so why would the Chasam Sofer knock him smicha? So the Chasam Sofer said, because I saw when you walked into the room, you didn't kiss the mezuzah. So therefore what? He said, we have this idea of not only not being mevazeh a mitzvah, but you have to treat mitzvahs with respect. And he said, the minig Yisrael has been for thousands of years that when you walk into a room and you see a mezuzah there, you kiss it. How do you not show respect for a mitzvah? And the Chasam Sofer said, a person who doesn't have the sensitivity to kiss a mezuzah when they come to the room is not worthy of my smicha. That's what he said. So he had a very high standard. But the point is, the Chasam Sofer was teaching us as well that this is something that we should think about. Not only do we have to keep the mitzvahs after they are completed and try to use them for another purpose, not only do we have to make sure not to be mevazeh the mitzvahs, but we also have to make sure to go out of our way to be mechabed the mitzvahs as much as we can to show how much we appreciate them. The Mishneh Berurah quotes in the name of the Shalah. I don't know if anyone has this practice, but he says that the Shalah says the following, Ra'isi mibnei aliyah, there were those very special people, Shahayim menashkin hamatzos v'hamarar v'chein asuka b'knisaso v'yitziyaso. There were people who on the night of the Seder, says the Mishneh Berurah, used to go and kiss the matzah and kiss the maror, and they used to go to the panels of the sukkah on the night of sukkahs and they would kiss all of the panels. B'chein arbas ha-minim shebelulav, they would take the dalad minim on sukkah's morning before they did the mitzvah and they would kiss them. Hakol l'chivav ha-mitzvah v'ashrei mi she'oved es Hashem b'simcha, says the Mishneh Berurah, they did it to show how much they love the mitzvahs. They did it to show how much they appreciate the mitzvahs. And therefore he says that this is something that many communities had the practice of doing in order to show not only are they not mevazeh the mitzvah, but also they are mechabe the mitzvah as well. I did once read in the Sefer of the Aderes. The Aderes was such a beautiful writer. He was so descriptive in his emotions about the way he felt about a lot of things. So he writes here the following. He says, Mitzvah sukkah haisa chaviva alai admod. He says, I absolutely loved the mitzvah of sukkah. Didn't matter how cold it was, didn't matter how windy it was. He says, I was living in Europe, in Panovich, it was freezing cold. Didn't make a difference. I was so excited about the mitzvah of sukkah, I just loved it. Didn't matter what the conditions were. Asher haisali onegrav lo yituar. He says, I cannot describe how excited I was every year to perform the mitzvah of sukkah. B'shifti b'tamid laila v'yom b'li harif. He says, I never used to leave my sukkah. I would sit there day and night for the entire duration of the yomtiv. Be'ein roim. When nobody was looking, Hayisi menashek atzei hasukah biyom shmini atzeres. Sounds like shmini atzeres. I didn't want anyone to think I was crazy, so I did it when no one was looking. I used to go and kiss every piece of the schach while I was sitting in the sukkah on the last day. Lo tetur baomer udvarim atzvas libi. He says, I cannot describe how depressed I was be'eis panos hayom shal shmini atzeres. At the end of the day, shmini atzeres, when we were turning back into yom chol. When I was thinking, I'm not going to have the chance to sit in the sukkah for another year. So, I would imagine many of us go into the sukkah for the last time and we just say the tefillah that you're supposed to say and we eat something and we leave. And the Adara says he used to sit there depressed thinking about the fact that how am I going to manage a whole other year I'm not going to sit in sukkah. V'lefamim, he says, and then I started to think to myself, sometimes it's going to be 13 months, a leap year. Can you imagine? How am I going to make it 13 months without sitting in sukkah? V'latzeis min ha-mitzvah she-nechnasti b'socha she-ein doma la b'chala Torah kula. He says, there is no mitzvah opportunity that we do throughout the year that is comparable to this mitzvah. Why? Because like the Vilna Gaon writes, the mitzvah of sukkah is all-encompassing. The other mitzvah like that is the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And the third one, I think, that he says is the mitzvah of mikvah. And when you go into the mikveh, your entire body is involved in the mitzvah. Every part of your body is involved. So this is something that is an unusual opportunity, said the Aderes. How can I last the whole year without sitting in sukkah? And he says this used to make him actually depressed. Every year on Shmini Atzeres, thinking about the fact that he wouldn't be able to go in. So bizi ha-mitzvah is something which is very important to be careful about. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says, yesh lehizar, a person has to be careful, that kesha'adam lovish ha-talis, when a person wears a talis, Shelo yigur tzitziyosav. You have to make sure that when you wear a talis that your tzitzis do not drag on the floor, because once again, that would be a violation of this principle of bizui ha-mitzvah, which is something that not everybody is so careful about. And I think it's a kosher cane. If the Shulchan Aruch says you have to be careful about the talis, which really doesn't have such kedusha, certainly the tefillin. When you put on your tefillin, which is a chefza shel kedusha, that has divrei Torah on it, you're not allowed to let the straps fall on the floor. And then even while you're winding it up, you have to make sure to put it on a table or something like that. It's not respectful to the mitzvah when you do that, which leads to a little bit of a question, because the Gemara says in Maseches Gittin that there were three very wealthy individuals who used to be able to support the entire Yerushalayim under the siege, right? All of us know the Gemara Gittin about the Churban. So there the Gemara says one of them had the name of Nakhdiman ben Gurion, and the other one's name was, I forgot, and the third one was Ben Tzitzis HaKesis. What? Kalba Sabua, thank you. So the Gemara says Nakhdiman ben Gurion was one, Kalba Sabua was the second, and Ben Tzitzis HaKesis was the third. And the Gemara explains why each one's name was the way it was. Strange names. So why is his name Ben Tzitzis HaKesis? Says the Gemara, Shahayat Tzitziyosav Nigraros Al Haritzba, or something. It says that his tzitzis were dragging, and everywhere he went, they used to put out red carpets in front of him, and his tzitzis would be dragging on the floors. So some achronim ask on that Gemara, how could it be? Doesn't he know Bizei HaMitzvah, you're not allowed to have your tzitzis dragging on the floor? The Marsha has the question there, and he says, well, the Gemara means to say that he was so royal that everywhere he went, they rolled out a red carpet. So that's not a design for my tzitzis to roll on the red carpet is a covet. So anyway, this is the discussion, but the bottom line is, Bizei HaMitzvah is something that is an important concept, and it is learned from the Pasuk in this week's Parsha. The whole concept of Bizei HaMitzvah is slightly difficult to understand, because it's not like I'm dealing with a live person. It's not like there's anybody here who's going to be offended if I don't treat the mitzvah nicely. So why do we have to be so makbid? Why do we have to be so careful? Why am I going and kissing a cheftza shal mitzvah? Why am I so involved? Why do I have to make sure not to kick the dirt when I do the mitzvah? Who cares? As long as I got it done, I got it done. As long as I put the mezuzah up, I put it up. Why is Bizei HaMitzvah something that we have to even take into consideration? And the answer, I believe, is because the Rambam says the following. Kshemachase, he says, when you do the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, as outlined in our Parsha, lo yichase beraglov ela biyado. You're not allowed to kick the dirt with your feet. You have to cover over the dam with your hands. Kedei shelo yinag minag bizayin v'yiyu mitzvah bezuyas alav. As not to show any lightheadedness toward the mitzvah, you have to make sure to do it in the proper way. Says the Rambam, why? We're not dealing with a person. We're not dealing with somebody who has feelings. Why do I care? She'ein ha-kava the atzmon shel ha-mitzvos. Because the cover that I'm showing is not for the mitzvah itself. It's not that there's any intrinsic kedusha to the lulav and esrog, or to the defanos of the sukkah. You're not doing it for the mitzvah itself. El lemi she'tziva behem baruch hu. Understand, says the Rambam, that when I do a mitzvah, this is a representation of the Ribbono shel Olam himself. And therefore he says, this is something that we all have to remember. This is why we have to be careful that when we do a mitzvah, we show the respect that it deserves, because this is a representation of the Ribbono shel Olam himself. The Magen Mishnah there writes on that Rambam, Ki kavod ha-mitzvos, kavod Hashem Yisbarach. When you're mechabed the mitzvah, you're showing that you're mechabed the Ribbono shel Olam himself. Shehem shluchav shamakom, v'kavod ha-nishlach, hu kavod ha-shaleach. Right? If the president sends you an invitation, so if you're disrespectful to the person that drops off the invitation, it means you're disrespectful to the person that sent the invitation. It means you're not interested in the whole thing. And therefore, says the Rambam, if you show a sense of disrespect to the mitzvahs that the Ribbono shel Olam asks you to do, it's showing that you don't respect the Ribbono shel Olam himself. I seem to remember, I don't know if it's the Normally Melech or one of the, maybe the Kedushas Levi, I don't remember, one of them has a beautiful insight on Sukkot, I think it is, where he says, you ever wonder, after Hoshanas every day, we say all kinds of tefillos, and then we say, in the end, we sum it all up. L'man das kol ha-me'aretz ki Hashem hu elokim einod milvado. Like, what does that have to do with anything? You spent the whole time saying, Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, you're davening, okay, we get it. Why does this last sentence fit into the mitzvah of doing Hoshanas? Right? Why do we say every day at the end, after we put down the Dalaminim, L'man das kol ha-me'aretz ki Hashem hu elokim einod milvado? So he suggests the following. I thought it was a very convincing argument. He says, because very often you have people who don't fully understand what the mitzvah is all about. So they go and they walk around with the Dalad Minim, and they're traveling around the shul, and they're watching everybody. He's looking at the Lulav and Esrog, and everyone's all excited. And he says, they lose sight of the fact that it's not the Lulav and Esrog, it's the Ribbono shel Olam. So he says, at the end, when we show so much kavod to the Lulav and Esrog, and we're marching around the shul, and everyone's holding it up, and everyone's showing off to each other how expensive their Lulav was and their Esrog was, he says, let's all make sure we put it back into perspective. L'man das kol ha-me'aretz ki Hashem hu elokim. We're walking around because the Ribbono shel Olam wants us to do it. There is no intrinsic kedusha to the Dalad Minim. We're not showing off the Dalad Minim because the Dalad Minim are so important. It's because this is a representation of the Ribbono shel Olam himself. And he says, on this occasion where we put so much prominence on the Dalet Minim, we have to make sure to scale it back a little bit and remind ourselves when it's all over that this is all about the Ribono Shel Olam and nothing else. There is nothing special about the Dalet Minim if not for the fact that the Ribono Shel Olam expects us to do this. And when we do that mitzvah, it is as if we are interacting with the Ribono Shel Olam himself. That is what a mitzvah experience is all about. And therefore, he says, this is something that we have to keep in mind, which is really the way the Rambam explains the halacha in our parsha as well. So, let's assume that you're not going to be mevaza the mitzvah. Let's assume that now the mitzvah is over. You're not using the Dalet Minim anymore, and you're not using the sukkah anymore. So now, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with the item? You can't use it any longer. There's nothing you could use it for in a further mitzvah opportunity either. You can't throw it into the fire for the burning of the matzah, whatever it might be. What do you do with it now? And we get this question every year after Hanukkah. I have all the things left over after Hanukkah, and every woman wants to clean up the house. And every year after Sukkot, we get the same question. My husband and my children left all the lulav and esrog stuff all over the place, and all she wants is to get rid of it, and she doesn't want to go to shul to throw it on top of the yard. I don't know where that comes from, but that's the minig. So that's the question. What do you do? What do you do with the Dalet Minim now that Sukkot is over? What do I do with the broken panels from the Sukkah? We're not going to use them anymore, but I can't throw them out because it's a Sukkah. What do you do with it? So the Gemara says we have a clear guiding principle about how we're supposed to deal with a mitzvah item after we can no longer use it anymore for a mitzvah. Says the Gemara very simply in Megillah, Daf Chaf Vav Amid Beis, number Vav. Tana Rabbanan, Tashmishei Mitzvah Nizrakin, Tashmishei Kedusha Nignazin. There's two different categories of mitzvah items. One is something that we refer to as tashmishe mitzvah. One is something that we refer to as tashmishe kedusha. When you have tashmishe mitzvah that you no longer have to use, so we assume those are nizrakin. You can dispose of them. The way my father always says it, chayiv anam lamar b'lashon rabo. You don't throw it out with the dirty chicken bones. Very good. You don't throw it in the garbage can with the dirty chicken. So you put it in another bag and you dispose of it. That's totally acceptable. However, says the Gemara, when you have Tashmishei Kedusha, which is the second category of mitzvah items, then those have to go into Geniza. Those have to be put into the Shemus after you finish using them. Here's the million-dollar question. Which items belong in the first list? Which items belong in the second list? Says the Gemara, Elohen Tashmishei Mitzvah. What are the items that are allowed to be disposed after you finish using them? Sukkah, the panels of a sukkah. If you're not going to use them any longer, you can get rid of them. Lulav, shofar, tzitzis. Again, people all the time come to shul and put tzitzis in the shemus. They don't realize everything that's put into the shemus we pay for. Cost the shul money to bury it, right? So it's very nice you want to put the tzitzis into the shemus, but it's clear in the Gemara that you don't have to. So it's right, the Rama says, if somebody really wants to be machmir, so you're going to put it in the shemus. Not when it's going to cost someone money, right? We don't do that. So you're allowed to dispose of it. Ve'elorein tashmishei kedusha. What is the second list of Tashmishei Kedusha in which you have to bury them? That says the Gemara is Deluskame Svarim, Tfilin, Mezuzas, Tikshal Sefer Torah, Benar Tikshal Tfilin, Uretzuo Sehem. So, what is the basic distinction between these two categories? So my father explains in the name of Rab Chaim Balazhiner that the answer is it depends if it has Divrei Torah on it. If you have an old pair of Tfilin, so it has Divrei Torah written on it, the source of all Kedusha in the world is Divrei Torah. So if you have Divrei Torah that was attached to it, the Ritzuas of Tefillin that were attached to Divrei Torah, or you have old Parshios from a mezuzah or something like that, then those have to go into Shemus. But if you have a regular mitzvah item, says Reb Chaim Balazhiner, for example, when you have a shofar, tzitzis, a lulav, panels of a sukkah, those have no kedusha at all, because there is no Divrei Torah. So they only have a value while they're being used for the sake of a mitzvah. But once they're no longer usable for the sake of a mitzvah, that's where the Gemara says, Nizrakin, you're allowed to dispose of them. Again, it shouldn't be mevazid. You don't throw it out with all the dirty things, all the grease in the garbage can, but you're allowed to dispose of it in a respectable way. There's an unbelievable comment to the Beis Halevi, and I put it on here only because it's so beautiful and it's so important, and I feel I'm faced with this every single day. You walk into shul, and there's an ani here who asks you for money, and it's the same person either every day or every week, and you see them all the time, and you don't know what to say anymore. Maybe you feel bad for them some days, maybe you don't. It's a difficult thing to keep feeling bad for somebody who just doesn't go out and get a job. I'm not judging any of them, I don't know. But I think it's frustrating for people, and they don't know exactly what to think. And even when you give them money, the Rambam says you shouldn't just walk by an ani and not give money. So even you give them a dollar, sometimes they're not happy, and then you're frustrated, they're frustrated. Says the Beis HaLevi, let's put it all in perspective. Hinei, ba'esha nosnim atzdaka leha'ani. At the time when you're giving tzedakah to the poor person, v'nimtza mekayim beha'ani mitzvah tzedakah, and the ani is enabling you to perform the mitzvah of tzedakah. Think about it that way. Next time an ani stops you, don't say, what a pain in the neck. This guy's stopping me, I'm going to be late to this or whatever, wherever I'm going. The ani is enabling you to perform the mitzvah of tzedakah. Unfortunately, he has to be the one who's giving you the schus. But that's the perspective, says the Beis HaLevi. Think about it. Va'od kama mitzvah saseh, not only the mitzvah of tzedakah, but also v'achazakta bo. You have so many other mitzvahs in the Torah in which the Torah outlines for us what our attitude should be when giving tzedakah. V'achazakta bo, give the guy chizuk. You know, I always feel, even if you're not going to give him money, at least say something nice. Tell him where you could get a drink. Tell him where the bathroom is. Be nice to the person. Ask him where he lives. Last night, a guy came to the shul to collect money. People were giving him trouble. He has a tu'udah. He doesn't have a tu'udah. And I said to the guy, where are you from? I'm telling you, he was like so thrown off. Like nobody ever bothered to ask him, where is he from? He says, I'm actually from Philadelphia. I said to him, you traveled here all the way from Philadelphia to raise money for yourself? He says, yes. That's how poor I am. So the guy doesn't have a letter. You're not going to give him money when he says he traveled here from Philadelphia to raise money? How do you not feel bad for the man? Bechazaktabel. That's the mitzvah. Take care of the guy. Don't just give him money. Make sure you care about him, says the Beis HaLevi. Az ha'ani hu mamish kama b'chinas esrog be'esha no lo latzeis bo. Says the Beis HaLevi, why is this poor man who's enabling you to perform the mitzvah on this day, why is he any less important than the esrog on sukkis, than the tzitzis that we wear every day, than the tefillin that you have every morning in shul? He is no different. That item allows you to perform the mitzvah that the Ribbono Shel Olam asked you to do. And this ani does the very same. So he says, you go in the morning on sukkis and you put your esrog into a gold box. How do you not do the same thing for this man? How do you not treat him with respect, with dignity that he deserves? Now, it doesn't mean that he's an object. It doesn't mean he's an item. There's a story about the Maharsham. I think he has it in the Hakdama to his Tshuvas. I don't remember exactly, but I saw it a number of years ago. The Maharsham writes a story that he remembers. He saw there was once a big sale, and there was an open market. Everybody was out in the streets, thousands of people. And he said the Jews also participated, and they were coming to get the sales, as Jews like to do. And he says that everybody was looking around different things, and all of a sudden he sees a big commotion in the crowd. Somebody starts pushing everybody else out of the way. He says, what's going on here? The guy says, don't disturb me. He says, what are you doing? He says, look over there. He says, what's there? He sees that there's a midget. It's not like today where we have Guinness Book of World Records and we've all seen pictures of midgets or we've all been around the world. So a guy in Europe is a midget. This was like a big chiddush. Everybody was all excited. Oh, there's a midget in town. So this yid clears the crowd away, and he makes a big path, a beeline between himself and this midget, and he goes and he picks him up on his shoulder, says the Maharsham, and he says a bracha, he's shuckling with the guy in his hands, and he says, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam mishana abrios. He's so excited he has the chance to make a mishana abrios. Never in his life did he ever see somebody like this, and never was he able to make a mishana abrios. Says the Maharsham, he shook him like a lulav. Tafas oso nanas kalulav. It stuck out of my mind because that's the way he describes it. He says, tafas oso nanas kalulav. He picked up this midget like a lulav and he's shuckling with him while he's making the bracha the same way he would if he's doing a mitzvah. And says the Maharsham, instead of building himself a golden path into Gan Eden by saying his bracha, he built himself a path made of gold and diamonds straight into Gehenna. That's what he wrote. So you have to be careful, says the Maharsham. Yes, it's true. People sometimes enable us to perform a mitzvah. And ani sometimes allows us to perform the mitzvah that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects us to do. He blessed us with money. He blessed us with the opportunity to allow ourselves to perform the mitzvah of tzedakah. But there's a way to do it. Says the Beis HaLevi, if a person doesn't give the ani the dignity that he deserves, is that any less of a bizui mitzvah to any other mitzvah item that you would otherwise treat so respectfully? So the Aderas told us that he used to go around and kiss every piece of the sukkah, every piece of the schach, and he used to cry in Shmini Atzeres when he was leaving. At least give the man in shul tomorrow morning a smile. He asks you for tzedakah. At least understand he's no less than the sukkah. He's no less than the lulav and esrog. Doesn't mean you treat him like an object. It means you treat him with dignity. You treat him with respect. You show him that you care. Ve'chazaktabo, he's allowing you to have the opportunity to perform the mitzvah of all of this tzedakah and chesed that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects you to do, and therefore he says, if you don't, says the Beis HaLevi, if a person doesn't, you're in violation not only of Bein Adam L'Chaveru issues, whatever that's going to entail, but also of this idea that the Gemara talks about of Bizui HaMitzvah that we learn from our parasha of Veshafach, Hasdama, V'Chiseo, Ba'afar. We have to respect all mitzvah items, whether it's mitzvah items that are inanimate items or mitzvah items that have sensitivity, certainly we have to respect them because they are enabling us to perform the mitzvah the way we're supposed to do it. Okay, anybody else say Kaddish?